Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This is Hemet.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast to support the show. Get exclusive bonus episodes and ad-free episodes. Hello.
Hi.
Are you better this week? Everyone wants to know.
Yeah, listen, nobody I know personally has died this week. My friend's uncle did, but listen,
Everything is personally bad all the time. So
I guess I'm counting it as a win. Everything's terrible. But hey, thanks for everybody for reaching out. It's been really nice. And sometimes I cry in a horse's stall because people say nice things to me on the internet. Everything's going good. Thank you for asking, Hemet. How are you? Is this a good energy to bring?
Yes, there you go. Brief little personal note on my end. So next week, I am giving an invocation at the DuPage County board, local community board. A couple years ago, they started doing these religious invocations,
yeah.
And as part of a nationwide trend to try to get a more diverse
Christians.
Yeah, to get a more diverse group of speakers, I was like, I would like to deliver one. And they let me, whether or not they wanted to. But a couple weeks ago, they were like, asked me out of nowhere, hey, would you like to do the invocation? I'm like, yes, side eye.
Why?
But as far as I can tell, it's a genuine ask.
That's
and so
exciting.
I will deliver that next week.
DuPage County is my county.
There you
what
go.
What day is it? Maybe I can go.
Tuesday morning.
Oh, free Tuesday morning.
There you go. Party there. So
yes.
Interesting.
Cool. That's fun.
Yeah.
Congrats.
That's the only happy news you're going to get for the next hour.
All right, gang. I just want you to know that Hemant sat down and said, oh, this is going to make you so sad today. And the glee in his voice was really hurtful. So, all right, hit me,
all
my
right.
dude. Let's see.
We're going to start with the story. This actually happened last week. I think as we were recording, this was starting to take place.
Oh, okay.
And, or my understanding of it. So I'm like, I'll hold off until later because I don't have my mind around the story.
Sure.
Then I found out about everything and I'm like, oh, no.
Okay. Oh, God.
This story involves a guy named Bubba Copeland.
Oh, boy.
Yep. He is a guy in Phoenix City, Alabama.
An Asian gentleman, then?
He is not. Yep. Phoenix City, Alabama. So he's the pastor of First Baptist Church.
Pastor whatever. Bubba. No
pastor
notes.
Pastor Bubba. Yep. He was also mayor of a nearby town called Smith's Station. And so he's been doing these dual roles for a few years. And like when a tornado hit that community a few years ago, at the time, President Donald Trump, he came to that area. There's even a picture of Bubba Copeland speaking to Donald Trump.
And that was
so,
a cool
again,
conversation.
Knowing everything I told you up until this point, all of my stereotypes kick in.
Sure.
And so, I mean, I should say Copeland posted a picture in 2020 on Facebook. It's the picture of him speaking to Trump.
Right.
And it's not praising or condemning or anything Trump. He's just saying, I think he was running for re-election at the time.
Okay.
And he wrote, never in a million years did I think my first term as mayor would include dealing with a deadly tornado, global pandemic, several student suicides, he's
Jesus.
Pointed out. Like, there is no instruction manual for this job. However, I do have my own personal manual, and that is my Bible, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
so again, you can understand where my stereotypes
also,
here are coming
there
from.
There defo is an instruction manual for that job, right? Like, people, like, get like yeah. PhDs in this shit. There's definitely
like local
an
government
instruction.
How to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway,
so,
just want to call that one out.
I didn't know anything about the guy. And the reason anyone outside his community seems to know anything about the guy is because last week, a right-wing news outlet called 1819 News, which you're probably not familiar with,
no.
But it's a site that was like adjacent to Breitbart. Steve Bannon has promoted it.
What does 1819 mean? I
think that's the year Alabama became a state.
Oh, okay. That's
basically
right.
Saying that's how far back we want to take the clock. Okay, you get the idea. They published an article about this guy, Bubba Copeland, and basically the entire story was we found his secret profiles online.
Oh.
And the profiles were not just like him being a troll online. No, it seems like this guy spends his free time. He had a post, like his Instagram profile said, "I am a transitioning transgender curvy girl." And it seems like that's a character he created. He's not actually trans. It's just a character he created. He likes dressing in drag, putting on a wig.
In real life. This is him in real life.
But not publicly. Okay. Just hiding behind the costume. And he had other alt accounts playing this character where basically he would dress up in women's clothing. Sometimes, I wouldn't even call it racy. It's, provocative clothing.
Sure.
And if you do that on Instagram, you're going to get some likes. If you do it on Reddit in certain places, you're going to get the upvotes.
Yeah.
And I think for a guy like him, he's like, I'm getting positive
validation,
affirmation, and that's it.
Okay, I want to be clear. Thus far, I have no problem with anything that's happening. It is absolutely anybody's right to wear whatever they want, identify however they want. Assuming this guy isn't, you know, with one hand legislating anti-trans shit and then in the other participating and taking advantage of that community.
So this is where I want to go with it, because I share the exact same view. So I'm reading this article and I'm like, my first thought when I'm like, oh, wow, the reporter's name is Craig Monger.
Uh-huh.
He got all the screenshots, including some of the semi-racy ones. For what it's worth, they were... They were deleted pretty soon after.
When you say semi-racy, is it just like sexual type stuff?
Yeah, but he's not showing anything because, again, he's not trying to show that.
Instagram, which is pretty, if I remember correctly, pretty big about like no boobies or any or like dicks or anything. So it's not like it's
straight
up porn.
No, it's not. It's just one of those things that if you came across it, you would say, oh, someone's trying to dress sexy. That's what you're getting. Okay, so this guy, Craig Monger, got a lot of screenshots from Reddit, from Instagram. Mm. For what it's worth, they were not all deleted later. I could see them, too, later on.
Okay.
So, like, they still exist on the internet because it's the internet.
Sure.
One of the things they pointed out in the article, that Copeland is literally wearing his wife's clothing because there's a picture of his wife wearing a dress, and then he's wearing the dress.
Okay.
And my thought was the same as yours. At first, I'm like, yeah, go get him.
Yeah.
But the second is... why do I care about this unless we have proof that this guy is legislating anti-LGBTQ policies as mayor, as far as he can anyway as mayor, or in church, he's preaching against this stuff.
Sure.
Because, of course, you have to have that to make this a story. Otherwise, what are we doing here?
Otherwise, it's just nosing into people's personal lives, which is a thing I don't care to do.
So here's an excerpt from the article in 1819 News. Copeland confirmed... they reached out to him. They got him to talk. Copeland confirmed that he operated the account and was featured in the pictures. He claimed it was only a means of getting rid of stress and called the postings a hobby and a fantasy. They also found, by the way, erotica he had written online. He also said his erotica was, quote, purely fiction. After the interview, Copeland promptly deleted the accounts and asked them not to be made public due to his family and position as a pastor. He later said, "Just my wife knows about it," Copeland said. "It's a hobby I do to relieve stress. I have a lot of stress, and I am not medically transitioning. It's just a bit of a character I am playing. I don't go out and seek solicitation or anything like that," he continued. "It's something that I don't intermingle with the other. It's private. I don't do it in the public or anything like that. It's just a fictional character I made up to relieve stress." So...
okay.
All of that...
which is fine. I want to be clear. It's fine.
I don't care.
So far, so good. Do what you have to do to relieve stress, which is such a weird way to... go ahead. Yeah, fine.
Yeah,
whatever.
I'm right there with you. He was clearly embarrassed that he got caught.
Yeah.
I don't know if his wife actually knew about it, but I understand why he would say that.
Sure.
He wanted to keep a secret. And then... this happened on Wednesday of last week where the article came out.
Okay.
I don't know when they spoke in this interview, but the article came out on Wednesday. Wednesday night, he was supposed to be preaching from the pulpit. And
he's
a preacher as well. And he did. And at that point, it was a very brief sermon, and it was live streamed. He says, "I have been an object of an internet attack. An article that was written about my capacity as the mayor, capacity as a pastor... The article is not who or what I am. Yes, I have taken pictures with my wife in the privacy of our home in an attempt of humor, because I know I am not a handsome man nor a beautiful woman either. I apologize for any embarrassment caused by my private personal life that has come publicly. He later said, after talking about God for a little bit, I have nothing to be ashamed of. I'm sorry for what my actions have caused. I'm thankful for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have reached out to me today in love. Couple things that happened after that article came out on Wednesday. One is that I read the entire thing. There was literally no documentation. There's no clip. There's no clip of a sermon where he was preaching against LGBTQ people.
Okay.
None. They didn't include any. There was no evidence that he had ever supported or passed any policies as mayor, like against anti-discrimination policies or anything like that.
Sure.
For what it's worth, I did my own little bit of research into that. I couldn't find anything they had done in that city that was anti-gay explicitly.
Okay.
Alabama as a state absolutely
right,
is. But that city hadn't done anything in any of to make it worse.
Sure.
Okay. So after the article comes out that Wednesday, the Alabama Baptist State Convention and the Alabama Baptist State Board of Missions, they issued a statement saying they were praying for his church leaders to determine the truth concerning these accusations. Here's their statement. We have become aware of the alleged unbiblical behavior related to the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Phoenix City.
Was there a psalm on Instagram?
What is that?
Was there a psalm about Instagram and what you should or should not post that I missed when I was
reading
the Bible?
I was trying to, like, what's unbiblical? What's the thing you're mad about?
They
did not specify. They said, we are praying for the leaders of the church family as they seek to determine the truth concerning these accusations.
What does that mean?
All right, whatever. I'm not sure what determination of truth needed to be made because he confessed that it was him. But what they didn't say, which was weird to me, is they didn't say this guy needs to get out of the pulpit. They didn't say that.
Okay.
They didn't say he was fired as if they had the authority. They just said, we're praying for the church's leaders to get to the bottom of this and decide what to do from there.
Okay.
Which seemed kind of hands-off-ish, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, and also, again, what was unbiblical? Was it that he was pretending to be a trans woman? Was it the drag? Was it the lie that I am being someone online who I am not actually?
Sure.
Was it the secrecy of it all? I don't know. They didn't say. And then the Alabama Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, which is like an umbrella under which his church lives.
Yeah.
They didn't even specify a punishment either. They just issued a statement saying this would appear to be a matter between pastor and church. Which, again, I saw that, I'm like, that seems very hands-off, too.
I guess I feel like everybody is doing the same thing we are, of like, yeah, this is interesting, I guess. I'm not sure what I feel like I'm supposed to comment on it, but there's nothing to say.
That's
which
it,
is where
yeah.
I am right
what,
now. Of like,
what
okay.
do you want us to be mad about? Because if this was Ted Haggard years ago, where he was, there was evidence or there was an allegation he had been seeing a male escort for sex, and the escort spoke out and said that, and Ted Haggard eventually said, yeah, I did. But also, we had had years of Ted Haggard saying that was a sin, that no one should be
because
gay.
Because it's the hypocrisy
it's
that
the
we're
hypocrisy.
After. I do, like...
So I'm waiting. Where's the hypocrisy? So, by the way, as we all know, I feel this doesn't have to be said on this podcast, but over the past few years, drag queens have been called groomers.
Yeah.
They have been subject to protests just for reading books to children in a perfectly appropriate way. Red states have passed laws banning drag performances. Obviously, trans people have been subject to attacks by religious conservatives.
Right.
So, if a Baptist preacher said one thing in public, did another thing in private, to hell with him. But again, couldn't find any evidence that he was a hypocrite.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, there is an argument that anybody who kind of participates in the whole Baptist thing and does this kind of thing is hypocritical, but all I can do is judge what you are presenting. So, yeah, fine.
It seemed, based on that article alone, because there was no evidence of hypocrisy, they look like, hey, we found a dude who dresses in drag. Let's just mock that.
Right.
Because we get to poke fun at a guy who dresses in drag who didn't want people knowing that.
Right. We can embarrass somebody,
can
which
embarrass
is important
him
to us.
For dressing in drag. We also get to attack trans people because that's what he was pretending to be.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he's a Southern guy. He's like a good old boy.
Yeah.
So even better. Like whatever his hobby is, it, again, I go back to where you were. Why is this my business?
Why am I talking about this?
Why are we talking about this? So then I started digging a little more into this story because I'm looking for the hypocrisy. So I look at his church. Mm-hmm. Has his church ever said anything that we could find? I'm not watching every sermon from years, but no sermon I could find was anti-gay, explicitly so based on titles.
Uh-huh.
They actually had the church sign out front that it has a picture of it on Facebook. It says First Baptist Church. All are welcome here.
Hmm.
It's like, well, a lot of churches say that.
Right.
But it's a bait and switch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
All right.
Then someone asked them on that picture, like in the comments, are you all an affirming church? And there's no answer. This is from 7 years ago,
affirming.
By the way.
Affirming.
Affirming. Are
as
you LGBTQ
in, okay.
affirming?
All right.
Or are you just saying all are welcome?
Sure.
And there's no response to that question, okay. But there is one like on that comment.
It's him.
No, it's the First Baptist Church's official account that liked the question, okay.
This
which
is
suggests
to
me
a really boring
oh,
book
just
of
wait.
Encyclopedia
just
Brown.
You wait. But yeah, oh, that is what I was doing. Like the only like on that post, are you affirming,
yeah.
is the church itself, which certainly suggests they are.
Is this why you don't sleep? You're going down
yes.
rabbit holes?
Correct. Oh, big rabbit hole here. So I was like, okay, that's a little strange, but he's still Baptist, right? Don't
yeah.
Baptist people think they're the worst? Well, Southern Baptists are definitely anti-gay.
Right.
But guess what? The Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, to which his church belongs, they're not the same thing. It's not that they're like super progressive, but members certainly support church-state separation.
Really?
Unlike the Southern Baptist Convention, the CBF, Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, they don't have some list of physicians everyone must adopt. They basically give member churches autonomy to decide their own path forward, even on controversial issues.
Is this just a long story to get me to like some kind of church because it's working?
Maybe. I mean, listen, there are Baptists who are explicitly in favor of church-state separation.
Of course.
And this seems to be one of them. Like, there's nothing I could find that told me they were anti-gay, anti-drag, mm-hmm. anti-trans. They do take advantages of resources from larger conservative Baptist groups for, like, vacation Bible school.
Sure.
But those are very explicitly, this is what the Bible said about Jesus
right.
and the gospel. So I could see why they might say, yeah, we'll take your textbook and
right.
your workbook. They also use those larger Baptist groups for missionary trips, which is not a culture war issue. That's just, we want to be Christian, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not right-wing propaganda.
Right.
Okay? So again, who cares what Copeland is doing in his free time?
You do.
I do, because I'm looking for the hypocrisy.
Uh-huh.
So that's where I was at. I could not find any evidence. I don't know why that was a story on the right-wing website.
Yeah.
And that is where I was at as of like last Friday morning, where I'm like, if this guy isn't a hypocrite, why is this guy's life, his personal life, his private life, being, you know, dragged through the mud? Because it sounds like he has a hobby you don't like. That's where I was at with this.
Is this why when I saw your family on Saturday, they were like, Dad who? We haven't had a dad around here in 20 years.
Correct. Okay, here's where this story takes a crazy ass turn.
Really?
Because Friday night.
Okay.
This is 2 days after the article was published, after he gave his sermon, after it started making the rounds, and all the ways it was making the rounds is Southern Baptist. Well, not Southern Baptist, but like a Southern Baptist mayor gets exposed as a guy who pretends to be a trans woman online. So you can see why that would get a lot of clicks on a lot of websites.
Right, but okay.
So on Friday night, I found out Bubba Copeland had taken his own life.
Fuck, Hannah, Jesus Christ.
Right. So apparently, a sheriff said they were asked to perform a welfare check on him that afternoon.
Fuck.
They go to find him. They don't find him in his house. They found him actually driving his truck. And according to news sources, a slow pursuit car chase ensued. And he pulled his car to the side of the road, stepped outside, made use of a handgun.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
That's kind of where this story ends. There hasn't been anything. His family's, no one should ask them to speak about anything right now. But that's where this ended. And that means, and the story hasn't changed. That means 2 days after a right-wing website dragged this guy under the through the mud for dressing in drag for no reason, and he begged them not to publish the piece, which I do understand anyone saying don't publish this piece, but they didn't have a legitimate news reason to publish the piece, and this is where it led to.
Jesus Christ.
And there hasn't been a shred of evidence I have seen over the past week that suggested he was a hypocrite. None. And that is the thing that has haunted me over the past week, because this wasn't a hypocrite who got exposed and then can't deal with it. Mm. This is a right-wing hit job against a mayor who didn't do anything wrong. He just did something they didn't like because it involved drag. It involved cross-dressing. It involved pretending to be trans, but at least it did. I mean, in their mind, he wasn't denouncing trans people. And that's it. Like,
oh my God.
This did not need to happen, and it did. Why? Because a right-wing anti-gay journalist, in big quotes, because he's not, decided, I'm going to ruin this guy's life for no legitimate news reason whatsoever. That is it.
Jesus Christ. I mean, when they talk about witch hunts, this is what a witch hunt looks like. A witch hunt isn't trying to find adult men who have abused children. A witch hunt is trying to shame somebody because they are different than you. And it scares you. And these are... Fuck,
you
man.
Can imagine why this guy wanted to do this privately. Because think about the community
the
he grew up in. Yep. You think about the people in his church, the community. Of course, this is not going to be a very accepting community, so he did this privately, got his kicks, and it was fine. Didn't hurt anybody. I would love to say this tragedy would lead to some soul searching among the people who jumped at the opportunity to ridicule the guy a week ago. I don't think they will. I haven't seen anything from the guy who wrote that article. I haven't seen anything from the news, quote unquote, news outlet.
Ashamed of himself.
Yeah.
Oh,
there was no reason for this to be a story. And I think back. You remember the website Gawker? Mm. Several years ago, they actually published a piece years ago when it was still like an important site. Mm. They published an article basically outing the brother of an Obama administration official who was caught up in a sleazy, semi-sleazy sex scandal. Mm. And the question after they published it is, okay, he's a liar. He lied about stuff.
Why do we care?
Why do we care? Because he's just a random dude. He's not an administration official. And even if he was, unless, again, he's a hypocrite, why is this our business? Mm. And the backlash was so profound that hours after the story went up, the website's owner admitted, yeah, there's no journalistic reason to post this. And they took it down, but the damage was done at that point. Mm. The point here, just because someone's a prominent figure, even locally, does not mean their private life deserves to be made public. There should be, if you're going to do that, there needs to be a good journalistic reason for it. And there wasn't one here. And the reporter, the guy who did the hit job on him, he didn't justify a good reason. Any editor who works at that outlet didn't justify a reason to make this public. Like, there was none. The only thing I have seen over the past week is that in this guy's erotica that he wrote, he actually used the real names or places, which, okay, you are right. That he shouldn't have done that. He should have fictionalized names when he was talking about fantasies.
Oh, yeah, but that's...
I mean, yes. But again, that's a... Jesus. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. That's not a crime. That's just stupid behavior. That is not something that needs to be exposed. That's more... I don't know. That doesn't justify anything that happened here.
Is it inappropriate to bring up gun control at this juncture? Yeah. Because women are more likely to attempt suicide, but men are more likely to complete suicide because they tend to use guns. And one of the many reasons that maybe everybody shouldn't have a gun just sort of on their body at all times, because we make...
As much as I want to know
decisions.
What his
Jesus,
family is,
poor
he had.
Man.
He has a
and
wife.
Thinking
he
back,
had three kids. I don't know what any of them are going through right now.
And honestly, thinking back to that quote of, I know I'm not an attractive man and I'll never be a beautiful. Like, it just speaks to somebody who was did not love himself.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Like, yeah. Who...
And this was his outlet.
The thing that made him feel good and better about himself is the thing that everybody used to drag him. And it's... I don't know, man.
The thing he said in that sermon last Wednesday is, I'm thankful for the grace of God and the willingness to forgive. I have nothing to be ashamed of. And he's right. He didn't, but these assholes drove him to be ashamed of it. Christ. And I don't think he could cope with that.
Then. When we talk about how the patriarchy harms men as much as it harms women, or in addition to harming women, this is the kind of thing that we talk about. This is what toxic masculinity looks like, is somebody is so disgusted by a person wearing what they perceive to be the wrong clothes that they drive a person.
All the people who knew him who have spoken as a eulogy of him online are like, oh, I knew this guy growing up, nicest guy ever. I know him as a mayor. He's always been like in the community doing the work. Like, good guy.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man.
Yeah. And I wonder if there was anyone, I don't know what the conversations were like in the days before or right after that article came out. Like, did anyone speak to him? What did they speak about? Did they let him know, like, we don't care, dude. Like, have fun, whatever. Or were they like, yeah, it's embarrassing. I don't know.
Or are they keeping their distance because they want to let it blow over, but you need people when you're going through
just
a thing like this.
Horrible story, but
Christ,
also, I guess, a reminder to all of us, myself included, that, yeah, just because someone fits the stereotype when you know a couple facts about them, you dig deeper, it's like, nope, that was not necessarily true of this guy. And listen, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he was a hypocrite, but I haven't found any piece of evidence to back that up. Mm. Not yet.
Fuck.
All right, I'm going to move on to a different story. Okay. Let's talk about Mike Johnson some more, our Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. At least this one's amusing.
Oh, boy.
Over the weekend, last weekend, there was an old video that started to go viral. They actually found it a couple weeks ago. But Speaker of the House Mike Johnson was talking about the accountability techniques he and his son use to avoid watching adult content online. As Rolling Stone put it, Johnson admitted they, quote, monitor each other's porn intake. That was Rolling Stone's headline. Basically, here's what happened. In October of 2022, at a Baptist church, like the bad Baptist churches, in Louisiana, there was a panel on the war on technology. Johnson was a congressman at the time, not the Speaker of the House, but he was speaking about how he installed software on his computer called Covenant Eyes.
Oh, boy.
In order to maintain accountability, and he told everyone in the audience they should do the same. Basically, he said, I'm going to quote here, I'm not playing the full clip because it took a long time. Covenant Eyes, he said, scans all the activity on your phone, on your devices, your laptop, what have you. We do all of it. It sends a report to your accountability partner. My accountability partner right now is Jack, my son. He's 17.
So
he and I get a report about all the things that are on our phones, all of our devices, once a week. If anything objectionable comes up, your accountability partner gets an immediate notice. I'm proud to tell you, my son has got a clean slate.
Do they forget that porn mags exist?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they...
Oh, it gets worse than that, but, like... Nothing. I mean, first of all, nothing bonds a father and son like knowing what porn the other one watches.
Okay. Here's the thing that I never want to think about is the kind of pornography people in my immediate family watch. That's the thing that I don't need to know about anybody in my immediate family.
Yep.
Nor do I feel like any amount of pornography they watch is in any way my business.
Correct.
I am deeply uncomfortable with this, and it's not because I'm a prude, it's because this is fucking creepy.
Yep. Oh, late night.
Also,
night comedy shows had a field day this one.
Listen, I've never been a 17-year-old boy, God knows. But I gotta feel like you can jerk it without looking at porn when you're 17, right?
I promise you, there's nothing more creative.
Like stiff breeze, and you're like, yeah, that'll do. Like, is this anti-porn or is it anti-masturbation? I guess is my first question. What's your
Covenant Eyes is anti-porn, but Christianity writ large, white evangelicals are anti-masturbation. in general, that if you're doing anything like that, you are lusting after someone who's not your wife because you haven't met your wife because you're not 17 or 18 yet.
I guess I'm just confused, as usual, about what the end goal of this is.
Oh, the end goal is you're not allowed to watch porn, and if you know, somebody's going to know about it.
But are they marrying it to masturbation?
Yes.
Or is it just like, no porn, we're not going to talk about the rest of
no,
it?
No, it's all part of the same thing. Lust is
then
bad.
Then why?
And the easiest way for a child or a grown-ass man to lust is by watching porn online, and they're like, well, if you're going to do it, and God isn't enough of a deterrent, then we're going to send the report to your accountability partner, who apparently is going to see like, oh, Jess is watching it again. I'll call her up and be like, Jess, stop it.
Oh, my God. One time when I was checking out of Vegas, a woman was like, and then this movie last night. I was like, you don't have to say that, ma'am. Ma'am, you don't. We know. We both know what's happening here.
Right.
Like, I don't want to talk to you about this.
Right. By the way, here's how bad the church reacted to all of this. The full sermon had been available on YouTube for over a year because it was live streamed, and then they just kept it up on YouTube. Church took down the whole video, which if you're worried people are going to take Mike Johnson's words out of context, then leave the full video up. What are you doing?
Yeah.
They also deleted a Facebook
link. It's
almost
like they don't really believe that context matters. Yeah. It's just the only thing they can think of.
Yep. They deleted a Facebook link about it. Mike Johnson had an old post on Facebook with a referral link to Covenant Eyes. Like, you can get a discount and I get a kickback if you use this link, which is fine and legal, but he deleted that post too. And like, here's the thing. If you're a parent, I totally do understand that you might be curious about what your kids are looking up online because you don't want them to go to shady websites.
Yeah.
And I guess that also includes like, yeah, if my kid is looking at porn, I would be disturbed by it in some parents' minds, and I don't want them doing it when they're 17. That's
It's weird,
but,
right?
It is weird, but I do kind of understand that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But telling your kid, oh, if your kid said, I keep a diary and I lock it up, like they have the little lock on it with a key, and you're like, well, I'm going to go into your room every night and read it. I think a lot of people would say it's an invasion of their privacy. They need some space away from you to grow up, have these thoughts,
whatever.
I don't
think that's necessarily the same thing as browsing online, though. I think writing your inner thoughts is a really different activity than, like, perusing the internet, I would argue.
Fine. But like, yeah, checking your kid's browser history.
Yeah, I'm not pro-monitoring like everything. I'm keeping you honest, Henry.
Sure.
Somebody has to.
But here's the thing. Couple things to know about Covenant Eyes. Like the focus in the Mike Johnson.
Covenant Eyes is the worst name they could have picked. It's so dystopian.
Yeah. It also comes after Mike Johnson, we talked about this last week, has a covenant marriage that binds them together even if they wanted to separate.
Oh, yeah,
remember?
They love that name.
He loves that word.
Oh, I have a song. Covenant Eyes Are Watching. Do you know that song?
Nope.
Somebody's eyes are watching.
Nice.
Covenant. Guys,
someone
this is for free.
It.
No, I need to get a clean take. Covenant Eyes Are Watching. Covenant Eyes Are Seeing You, Loving You. Because you're masturbating.
Lovely. Clip that, share it.
So, people say they like when I sing, and by people, I mean two people. And
so
by
here's
two
the thing.
People, I mean one is somebody I know personally.
The problem with Covenant Eyes, there's a lot of them. I'm going to go through some of them.
Oh, we have to go through the problems? We don't just understand them intrinsically?
That is correct.
Okay.
Because the problem with Covenant Eyes, one of them, is that the people who use it, it's not that they just want like a red flag to go up when someone watches porn. Mm. It's that it also includes any sites that might be questionable. So what if a kid is trying to make sense of his or her same-sex attractions?
Mm-hmm.
Forget porn, because any visit to a website affirming your sexual orientation could be seen by the software as a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Wired last year published an article in which one woman said she was forced to talk to her mother and pastor after similar software revealed she had, quote, Wikipedia'd an article about atheism. Mm. They were like, uh-oh, can't be doing that. She had to have a meeting about it. Same article focused on a church that used that type of app to spy on pretty much everything their staff did online.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, including one employee's, quote, Amazon purchases, articles he read, and even which friends' accounts he looked at on Instagram.
Did he buy anything cool?
I don't know.
Like, did they, like, they're stalking their employees. Are they at least finding some wrongdoing? Or are they just like,
We don't know.
Brad needs more razors again.
But that's what pastors are doing during their week. Let me see what they're up to.
Oh, my God.
Despite, like, the
That would be really fun, though. If I'm being honest, like, I wouldn't do it. But if I had
if I had the power to know what
power
everyone else
and
was,
no morals the way pastors do, I would 12,000% look at everything everyone is looking
at. Sure. Covenant Eyes, by the way, has
been coming for the incognito mode, motherfuckers.
Right?
You can't hide.
Last week, or last year, when that Wire article came out, they said Covenant Eyes had been downloaded over 100,000 times.
Covenant
it's very
Eyes.
popular in Christian circles. And, like, here's the thing. It is one thing to me. If you believe you have a problem or an actual addiction and you want someone else to hold you accountable, you know what? Fine. This app works in those situations, and it's not a unique premise. Like, someone with alcohol addiction might have an accountability partner and say, I have a craving right now. Let me call up my accountability partner. But if your church thinks you need a nanny because you're curious about atheism or sex or anything else, you belong to a cult.
Yes.
And okay, a couple other things. In all of this is in line with everything we know about Mike Johnson. And that's creepy enough as is.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we're talking about the Speaker of the House of the United States. Third in line to the presidency. Yes. My dude cannot not look at porn, apparently. But he wants the access to the buttons.
Yeah. People pointed out, you know, this shows you how weird white evangelicals are when it comes to purity.
I think it shows how weak men are, frankly.
Oh, we're getting there.
Oh,
it
good.
Shows how Republicans have again failed the, quote, normal person challenge. One person.
I've never heard that. Is that a thing people say? Because that's hysterical.
I mean, isn't that the criticism against Ron DeSantis? Like, just smile like a human. Nope, nope, he can't do it.
My God, my friend sent me another fucking picture of him doing the slow smile. It makes me so mad when she does that.
Because there's so many to choose.
So many.
It also raised a concern about how white evangelicals insist men need to be protected from themselves, which is what they're doing here. But also, that often leads to them blaming women for what the men do. Because there's no shortage of stories in which pastors respond to an allegation of sexual assault with the proverbial, like, whoa, what was she wearing? But a couple things, I think anyone listening to the story, beyond the jokes, which are all there, a couple things everyone should be aware of. And you should bring this up if this comes up in conversation. One, Covenant Eyes isn't even good at what it says it's supposed to do.
Really?
Because you remember Joshua Duggar.
Oh.
Right? During that trial where he was later sentenced over 12 years in prison for downloading and possessing illicit images of child sexual abuse, one of the things that came out during the trial is that Covenant Eyes was installed on his computer and phone and everything.
Yeah, I guess that's the other thing is, like, if you install something on your computer, you can surely uninstall
it. Well, that's what we learned. We've learned that Josh Duggar found a workaround. He installed a Linux partition that basically allowed him to use his computer in a way that wasn't seen by Covenant Eyes. The software didn't just catch what he was watching on some porn site. It didn't catch the illegal stuff he was watching.
Cool.
And that's before we get into the potential security concerns that if you are using Covenant Eyes, that means your browsing history and what you're watching and reading is being sent to some third-party server somewhere so that we know if there should be a red flag to go to the accountability partner. Should we be troubled, like, but her emails, should we be troubled by the fact that the Speaker of the House is doing stuff online and some third party somewhere is well aware of what he's doing on his computer at all times? That seems like a security threat to the country right now.
Sure does.
Maybe. I don't know.
Huh.
So that's the thing. Covenant Eyes is not effective. It may not even be safe for what a Speaker of the House might need to use his computer for. So that's one thing. Second thing, I do get why if the son has this stuff installed, his dad might be his accountability partner because the last person you want knowing what you're searching online is your dad. I get that. It is messed up, though, that Mike Johnson's accountability partner is not a pastor or a church elder.
Not it's even his, an adult.
It's his child. Yuh-huh. The congressman makes it sound like the mutual oversight there was a way to show he's practicing what he's preaching.
Sir, you're the authority figure.
Yeah. Like, if Johnson was looking at adult websites, the software telling his son what he's watching could be traumatizing.
Yeah.
Like, don't send that to your kid. That burden should not be on a child. Oh, so that's messed up, and no one seems to care about that.
Yeah, a kid should not be in charge of an adult's accountability. This is very what was she wearing, if I'm being honest. Like, it's all of a piece of, like, why are guys so interested in what teenagers watch as poor? Like, teenagers are gross.
I mean,
like,
Republicans right now are like, oh, does your kid say they are trans? I need to look at their genitalia. Let me find out everything about it. That's what Republicans want to do right now. Okay, and here's the other thing. While the clip that we've all seen of Johnson talking about Covenant Eyes is getting all the headlines, the thing he said after that, which is in some clips but not all of them, I thought was even more damning.
Okay.
Because after he talked about his son having a clean slate, which is creepy.
Gross roux.
He actually said the software had sent him a blurred picture that his son had been caught looking at on his computer.
Uh-oh.
And it was marked as questionable and sent to Mike Johnson. So Mike Johnson can now say, like, well, what was my son looking at? I can click on the blurred picture and see the actual image of what he was looking at. And he joked about this, but he talked about this. He said, I clicked on the image to unblur it, and it was the reason it was blurred and sent to him is because it was two women on the computer screen. What he found, is that it was like a Zoom call, basically, and his son was chatting with two women online, and here's what he said, quote, it's two middle-aged teachers talking. My son was in the Bossier youth leadership thing, so he was having a dialogue as a group with these women, but it caught it because here's two women talking to my son, right? So he's having a Zoom meeting about, like, teaching, and the Zoom meeting involves two females.
And he's like, LOL, only two women can be together if there's sex involved.
I think the Covenant Eye software sees a Zoom screen with two women, and it just assumes something bad is happening to the point where it sent Daddy a link with a blurred picture of the Zoom call saying, I don't know, this looks shady. You may want to look into this. And that's the thing. Like,
and he's like, clickeroo, can't wait.
Right? Like, instead of concluding, wow, this program wrongly jumps on false positives here, he used that as an example of how good the software is.
Hey, maybe any software that flags two women just being in a virtual space together
talking
as pornography. Maybe only boys coded that. Maybe you think?
Yeah.
You think maybe?
This is the same problem that plagued Mike Pence when it came to, like, the quote-unquote Billy Graham rule. Like, the men said, we avoid being alone with a woman who's not our wife because the optics might be bad or
because
it might
be. Because we don't believe that women are whole human beings in their own right and
only we don't trust that we can keep it in our pants.
Men.
Yeah, it could lead to infidelity. We want to avoid false allegations.
In my thoughts, what if I think about her boobies? What am I supposed to do then? I'm just supposed to go back home to my wife after thinking about somebody else's boobies?
Right. And they ignore the fact that powerful men refusing to be alone with women in a professional capacity actually hurts women who work hard to attain those positions of power as well. They treated working relationships like personal ones, implying that sex was always a possibility, which is bad on their end.
Well, women are very slutty, famously.
And so Mike Johnson's son...
And are always trying to get at that Mike Pence D.
Oh, always. Mike Johnson's son was literally talking with two women in a professional capacity. The software was programmed to think something improper might be happening. What lesson does that teach the son? You are better off avoiding these situations, even if they're appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you do that? Just work with other men. That's the solution to everything. That's why the software is so laughable. Not that there are ways to just get around the thing that it's supposed to do, like it did for Josh Berger. It literally creates new problems where none are present.
Mm.
So the Christians who use Covenant Eyes think they need to be babysat because they might use the internet like everyone else. But it shows you how controlling and harmful a Christian environment like Mike Johnson's can be. And now, just imagine if Republicans win the Senate, if they keep the House, if Trump wins in 2024, what's stopping Mike Johnson and his other creepy Republicans from trying to make this the environment for all of us?
Yeah.
Where they're not going to install Covenant Eyes everywhere, but they might say, like, we will find a way to create a way that allows parents to monitor what their kids are doing in the name of public safety or something like that.
Or we might pass laws that a man and a woman can't be in a room alone together without a chaperone, and then we can excuse not having women on whatever meetings because there's no chaperone, and what are we supposed to do? Just not fuck you? I don't know. I am worrying about the nukes, I guess. I think men are bad. How's that?
Understood.
All right.
All right. Let me talk about something that's less serious for like a brief moment. Okay. We'll have a little respite, but it's still disturbing. Remember Sean Foyt?
No.
Sean Foyt is the Christian nationalist and COVID super spreader.
Not narrowing it down.
He's a Christian singer. During COVID, he went around saying, we're going to hold giant concerts.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Come to my concerts. Forget any restrictions on space. Don't wear a face mask. Just come. Let's spread COVID and love Jesus. That guy's still around. He's still doing this. He's a bad dude.
Unlike other men.
I know. In June, this guy posted on social media. It was a picture of his car with the back window broken.
Ooh.
And he posted the thing that said, our car was broken into and my guitar stolen from downtown Spokane last night.
That's not good.
And he's like, it was my 67 Gallagher that was a gift from a musician named Ray Hughes. Irreplaceable. Pray for justice. Pray for our family. Pray against these constant attacks. Okay. So, if his car was broken everything is an attack if you criticize this guy.
They broke his back window?
Back window.
Did he have a pickup truck?
It's like an SUV. And the guitar case was in the trunk.
Oh, gotcha. So I was imagining a sedan. Yeah, but okay.
Broke into the back seat, back window.
Yeah.
Got the guitar, left with it. So let's assume that's true.
Sure.
Okay, that sucks. That's awful. I hope they find the guy who did this. You know what I mean? Yeah,
we are anti-robbery here at the Friendly Atheists. We're very brave.
So he was right to be upset about it. I get that. Forget the God talk. He's right to be upset about it. And then a few days later, he posted, it's a Sunday miracle. I got my guitar back.
Oh, that's good.
It was turned in this morning after being stolen from my car 5 days ago. Thank you for praying. We're going to celebrate today in Oceanside. God restores. And he held up a picture of the guitar. What he said in the comments to that post, this is, how did you find it?
Someone asked. Happened?
He responded, it was traded in for dope, then wound up in a pawn shop, and my buddy bought it back for me. That's what he said in the comments.
Fine.
I guess the story is someone stole his guitar, needed money for drugs, made a pawn shop deal, got the money, they got their drugs.
I don't know a lot of people who are breaking into cars for weed, but go on.
Yeah. So apparently one of his friends...
You could just go to your dirtbag friend from high school. He'll have weed for you.
You would think. So, okay, coincidences, lots of them. How did your friend just magically wander into a pawn shop, saw your guitar?
I guess he was looking for it. You start looking in pawn shops.
Yeah.
Listen, this is definitely ringing a few bells, but so far it's not egregious. Right.
So it's weird. And then a couple weeks later, now we're in July of this year.
And the guitar multiplied.
Yeah. A couple of weeks later, Foyt posts another update to the story. Didn't know there was one that was needed, but there you go.
Guitar still exists.
I know. The Foyt said, breaking news with the alarm emoji, whatever.
Oh,
man who stole my guitar gets wrecked by God's love. And he's talking about a guy named Dean who works for Sean Foyt's ministry.
Gets wrecked?
That's a weird phrase, but there you go. He said Dean, a guy in his ministry, was doing street ministry when he ran into Zach, who confessed to breaking into my car and stealing my guitar. Dean began showing videos of me leading worship, and Zach began to repent and ask forgiveness.
Oh, see, this is a lie, though. The thing about this is that it didn't happen. That's my favorite part about this
story.
Do
you know that? Do you know that's true?
Yeah.
Well,
I do. I feel extraordinarily confident that nobody walked up to a man preaching on the street and said, oh my God, I heard the word of God. I stole your friend's guitar out of his car. And I know that for reasons that you're his friend. And I am so moved by the spirit of Jesus that I am going to confess to you in public of a thing that I did, even though I do not have the guitar anymore.
Right.
Nor am I okay.
Whatever. That was July 6th.
Uh-huh.
And on August 20th.
That thing that didn't happen? Did not happen on July 6th?
Correct.
Good to know. I'll mark that in my not calendar.
Uh-huh. August 20th, Sean Foyt posts another update.
Lie.
All caps. The guy who stole my guitar just gave his life to Jesus, with 4 exclamation points. Then he said, he's getting baptized right now. He's came and surprised me in front of 7,000 people. God writes the best stories.
He came and surprised me
to the concert.
7,000 people. So this dude just bought a ticket to the concert
with the money he has.
With all the money he has, that he sold the guitar for.
He stole another guitar to get money to go to the Sean Foyt concert.
Guitars to make his way across the country. He walked into this concert, 7,000 person concert, which is big.
Which is big.
Big. walked, what, up to the stage or walked backstage or up, like
on
up
the
to
stage.
His,
there was video.
Just up onto the stage.
There was video of Zach, the dude,
and security
on stage.
Was like, sure, sure, sure. This guy's clearly been touched by Jesus. So mm-hmm. we're all surprised here, mm-hmm. here at this concert.
And
everybody
is,
here is surprised by this surprise.
There is video of that guy, Zach, on stage.
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything. They don't give him the mic or anything, but they say he's saved. And then there is part of a video of Zach getting baptized.
Okay, but the thing is, why is he, why the lie? That's my question.
Well, is it a lie?
It is a lie. It is a lie to say that this man showed up at your concert unexpected and we baptized him. That is a lie. Nobody can deny to me that that is a lie because the logistics alone, they just happen, they always have a kiddie pool around in case for an emergency baptism. Like, what the fuck are you saying to me?
They absolutely do.
That's disgusting.
I'm going to make you come around here to look at this picture because days after that happened, here, where was Sean Foyt? There he is.
He has beautiful hair.
Uh-huh. Oh, don't compliment his hair. But where did he
Listen,
appear?
I respect a dude with curly hair who clearly knows how to take care of it. Most dudes with curly hair just brush it out
All
like
right.
lunatics.
Where was he in that picture?
Fox News.
He was on Fox News with the Chiron thief gets baptized at Worship Singer's event.
Wait, is this the Worship Singer that I saw or the thief?
This is Sean Foyt's event.
Okay.
Thief gets baptized.
Beef.
So,
oh, thief.
Thief. Yeah, so look, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You're right to have all the red flags raised, but mm-hmm. also, what are you going to, like, how do you disprove that this happened?
This is like watching a Hallmark movie and trying to be like, that wouldn't happen. Like, yeah, we all know. We're all watching the same bullshit.
Well,
he knows. Everybody knows. The thing is, everybody knows he's lying, right? Everybody, nobody in their right mind, genuinely in their heart of hearts, believes that a unhoused person showed up at a concert of
Very Phil Collins
of an,
in the air.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love Phil Collins so much. He's not doing well,
tonight.
I don't think.
I don't know.
No, this is, nobody believes this unless they also genuinely believe that, like, Mickey Mouse loves them.
Sure. So, Aaron Hedge, who is a reporter with Range Media, I'm not familiar
Aaron
with the
Aaron with two
outlet.
A's or Aaron with an E?
Aaron with two A's.
Okay.
With Range Media, legit news outlet, I wasn't familiar with it, but he published a very long article
okay.
about this whole ordeal,
yeah.
and he actually did the work.
Yeah, boy!
So, basically, he got in touch with Zach.
Let's go!
Yeah.
Oh,
it
I
turns
meet Zach.
Out it wasn't hard to find him because he's well known in that community as an unhoused person who is there all the time.
Uh-huh.
People knew who this guy was.
Okay.
And the basic thing is, what Aaron Hedge was trying to figure out is what here is real. Is it real? Mm. If it's not real, what's not?
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure this out. And he spent quite a bit of time with Zach Williams trying to figure out what the real story was.
Wow.
So for starters, yes, Williams admits he stole the guitar. That is true. Mm-hmm. Williams is 33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He lives on the streets of Spokane. He's lived there for decades, unfortunately.
God, Spokane's got to be rough.
Yeah. And he said he's trying to find work so he can get his life in order.
Mm-hmm.
But he admitted, like, theft is kind of the easiest way for me to get what I need to survive.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
There are local laws that say panhandling is not allowed. It could land him in jail. He is trying to avoid jail. And stealing and getting away with it is actually easier than panhandling and asking for money because you can't.
Wow, it's so weird that being an unhoused person, it's like all of the cards are stacked against you and there's really no way you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps because if you don't have a permanent address, you can't get a job usually.
He actually said he finally got an ID from the government that will allow him theoretically to get a job. And he actually said this thing is like, he's dating someone, has a girlfriend, according to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I need to get my life in order. If I can get a place, then she's going to come and live with me. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the situation he's in. It's not great, but also that's the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, when he saw a guitar case in the back of a vehicle one day, he figured he could steal it and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what he did.
Oh.
What he said is, before he could take the guitar to a pawn shop, that evangelist, Dean, his name is Dean McCarty, he is a member of a local church that does preach to homeless people.
Mm.
He said...
And is Dean associated with a musician, or this is
Dean
just a
is connected to a church that does work with Sean Foyt.
Okay.
So they're in the same circles.
Okay.
So Dean is a member of a church that works with the unhoused people. He actually heard about the guitar thing, and he's like, I feel like I might know who's behind this. Or at least, if it's not Zach, he probably knows.
Right.
He tracked Williams down... And he knew Williams personally. Mm. So this Dean guy tracked Williams down. And according to the article, McCarty quickly tracked Williams down and convinced him to give the guitar back for a reward of $110. Okay. Williams agreed to that trade, even though selling it to a pawn shop would have been more lucrative for him.
Sure.
And he said, the reason I gave it back to Dean is, quote, I thought it would be the right thing to do. I thought it would be the right thing.
Yes, it's almost like people who steal to survive aren't necessarily inherently bad people. Yeah. It's like these people have never seen Aladdin.
Yes. So why did Foyt lie and say the guitar was found at a pawn shop? Well, the reporter spoke...
Because he's trying to impress a princess and pretend he's a prince so he can marry her.
Aaron Hedge, the reporter, spoke to Dean McCarty, the evangelist. Really? And he said, we actually texted Sean Foyt and said... The guitar was not found in a pawn shop. Like, texted him. It wasn't in a pawn shop, dude. We saw your, like, Instagram page. It wasn't
so
in a pawn shop.
So his internal crew is calling him out, too.
And they said Foyt acknowledged the mistake, but still repeated the lie.
The mistake or the lie?
Or the lie. I don't know. They were like, maybe he just saw the words pawn shop and not the not before. It's like how Christians see the Constitution and they say religious test for public office must be a yes.
Yeah.
And they don't see the
no. The no in front of it, sure.
So anyway, weeks later, Foyt's doing a concert in the area. He asked Dean McCarty's church, hey, can you find that homeless guy? Can you find Dean?
What? He's using a human as a prop? That's so weird.
So Dean McCarty went to work finding Williams again, and he did. And Dean McCarty said, would you show up at the concert? And Zach said, yeah, I guess. I mean, you're telling me go to, I'm assuming, like, you want me to go inside a warm space for a few hours?
Oh, I'm sure they're going to pay him, too, for his time.
Oh, no.
What?
No. They didn't pay him for his time.
They must have. What? Okay, whatever.
Anyway, here's the article.
Fucking people.
Speaking to Range, this is the media outlet, Williams denied having converted, saying, definitely not. He also said being on stage was unpleasant. Quote, it kind of made me feel like I was being showboated. I didn't know the dude. I don't like being touched by people, especially if I don't know them. It's just weird.
Yeah.
So all their hands were on him for prayer.
Oh, of course. It sounds miserable. I don't like people touching me either.
Dean Williams, the evangelist, Williams said the group then asked if Zach, if he would get baptized. The Christian ritual. Okay, you know what baptism is.
Oh, thank you.
And according to the homeless person,
they really explain what baptism is
in article,
this?
The article did.
That's hysterical. Yeah.
And Zach says, I'm like, no, I don't want to get baptized right now. William said they replied, oh, come on, man. You got to get baptized. William said he
just
again.
Like Jesus did.
Yeah. William said he again refused, but that they continued to pressure him. Quote, and they kept on doing it for like 15, 20 minutes, begging me to get baptized. And I'm like, fuck, okay, let's go do it.
Yeah, buddy. I love this guy. Yeah. I want to be his
Williams
friend.
Didn't realize his reluctant dunk into ice cold water was being filmed so that he could then be exploited by Foyt's ministry.
Right.
Needless to say.
Well, he was already being exploited. He didn't exploit him further.
Needless to say, he did not accept Jesus. He didn't then. He doesn't now. He's got more pressing issues to deal with.
Sure.
He did refer to what Foyt did as creepy. And actually... Even McCarty, the guy who was like the conduit for all this, he correctly suspected that Williams did not accept Jesus on the stage, and he criticized Foyt for exaggerating the tale. Quote, you're stretching it to make a story and you're full of crap, McCarty said, pretending he was speaking to Foyt. We don't need to make a show of this deal. And the thing is, that video of him getting Zach getting baptized, that went viral on social media. Zach has no idea that he's been the poster boy
for
this ministry for months now. The morning, this is also from the article, the morning after he allowed himself to be pulled on stage, photographed, videotaped, and eventually submerged in water, William says, he woke up back on the street in an area he has spent countless hours in the last few years, near the City Gate Fellowship, a church for unhoused people. So there is a church that actually is working to help them, which is very nice. But, like, it's not like Foyt's ministry was there saying, hey, now that you did us this favor, let's do you a solid and help you. Nope.
Not even, like, put him up in a hotel for a night.
Nothing.
So long, good luck.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
But they don't even say good luck.
Yeah. Kudos to Aaron Hedge for getting to the bottom of a story.
Yeah, shit. That
is exaggerated
journalism.
And twisted. Not the first time a Christian grifter was caught in a lie, but it tells you how despicable Foyt is.
And I think.
Beyond all the other reasons.
Truly. And I think, you know, if we watch the quote unquote fallout of this, we'll learn that once again, there will be no consequences.
Sure. Like, Foyt didn't commit a crime. He's just an asshole. And that's the thing. There's
consequences
no
don't necessarily denote a crime. Consequences, if you're a dick, sometimes bad shit should happen to you. And it doesn't sound like anybody in his circle is taking it far enough to be like, no, I'm going to step away. Just like, hey, dude, you were a dick. I'm going to keep following you and making money off you and riding those coattails. But for the record, dick.
Yeah. I'm going to go to a different story.
This is a good story or a bad story?
Oh, what do you think? Okay. I'll start with the worst part of it.
Oh, God. Jesus. Okay.
In 2010.
Let's do it. Gird your loins.
We may have talked about this a while ago.
In 2010? We did not have a podcast in 2010.
An Arizona man named Paul Adams, he confessed to his Mormon bishop, whose name is John Herod. I'm only telling you these names because they're relevant. Paul Adams confesses to his bishop, John Herod, that he is molesting his 5-year-old daughter.
Okay, this sounds familiar.
Uh-huh. What did Herod do? Because, again, bishops in the Mormon church, they're like everyday lay people. They're just randos. They don't go to seminary. They're just like, it's your plumber, and he happens to be a bishop. So he doesn't know what to do. So what does he do?
They would like you describing that as such.
That's the accurate description. So what does he do? He's like, oh, shit, what do I do with this information?
Yeah.
So he calls Mormon customer service. There is a hotline. Yep. There's a hotline for bishops.
Okay.
It's called the helpline. He calls the helpline. He's like, you guys, I just got a confession about abuse. What do I do? And the Mormon lawyers who answer the phones are like, the answer is
nothing.
Don't tell the police. Don't tell local child welfare officials. Nothing. So Herod basically told nobody. He did inform another bishop about the situation. And he also brought in Adams and his wife for some counseling. So maybe thinking like, well, if I tell them not to molest the kid, maybe the wife will keep an eye on him.
Oh, definitely. The reason he's molesting his 5-year-old daughter is because he doesn't realize it's wrong and needs to be told, not, you know, because he's a monster.
But they did not tell law enforcement. So guess what happened next?
He continued to molest his daughter. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so much
worse.
He
had more children, molested them all.
From an article. Adams continued to molest his daughter. Cool. And later, after her birth in 2015, his infant daughter. She was 6 months old at the time.
Jesus fucking
Way
Christ.
To gets worse, I'm sorry. He made videos of the encounters.
No, he did
and
not.
Posted them on pornographic websites.
You're fucking kidding me.
Which were eventually discovered by Interpol, reported to his employer, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and then led to criminal charges. Okay, so there were
fucking
two.
Fucking Interpol had to get involved.
I believe the story is that someone in New Zealand discovered a man who was viewing the videos, and they caught him.
Mm.
And then they're trying to figure out who is the victim in this video.
Sure.
And they found a way to trace it back to this dude.
Oh, because some places in the world, they care about children?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
So but the thing is, so both of those girls and their three other siblings, because Mormon... They were eventually adopted, albeit by separate families. That's awful.
Oh,
but
good.
Like, I hope they
separated
okay.
the children. Yeah. That's great for their mental health.
I don't know.
Good
what,
job,
I,
Dad. You're fucking nailing it.
I don't know what is happening with them. None of my business at this point. But also, I hope they're okay. Okay, the wife.
They're not okay.
Yeah. The wife was later indicted on 12 criminal counts. Adams was indicted on 11 counts of child sexual abuse, but hanged himself in prison in 2017 while awaiting trial.
Cool.
Okay, so that's where we were at with that story. Mm. Here's the update. Well, a few years ago, and maybe this is when we talked about it, a few years ago...
Can I just say one thing? Sorry about the suicide of it all. It just shows us that this guy knew that what he was doing was wrong enough that he confessed to a priest, and he ended up taking his own life, not because... he couldn't control himself and was harming his daughters. He killed himself because he was going to finally see consequences of it. And
seems
I just
like
think
it.
We should all sit with that and understand that for him, the worst case scenario is him getting punished for a thing he did, not being a person who molests his daughters, knowing that it is wildly inappropriate.
Correct.
Anyway, just want to make sure we have that out there.
And that also means those girls could not get justice in any meaningful way, because what are you going to do now with the parents? Like,
those poor children.
Yeah. So a few years ago, and again, I think this is when we talked about it, three of those children, I don't know which of the five, three of the children sued the Mormon church, including some of those officials.
Yeah.
Basically,
that
they said,
familiar.
You knew this was happening. And you didn't do anything to stop it, and because of that, this all continued.
Correct.
Their attorney actually summed it up in her legal complaint. This case involves horrible sexual, physical, and emotional abuse of children between the ages of 6 weeks. Did I say months before?
You said six months before.
Sorry.
Six weeks!
And 12 years old that went on for 7 years. The biological father of these victims made videos of his rapes, and now these videos are everywhere on the World Wide Web. The perpetrator admitted his abuse and crimes to his Mormon church, and received counseling for his crimes. The Mormon church leaders knew about the abuse, and yet no one reported these crimes to the authorities. The Mormon church leaders gave guidance and care to these children for 7 years, sat next to them in church, and allowed these vicious crimes to continue. That was her complaint.
Despicable.
Awful.
It's fucking disgusting. These people are criminals.
So here's the update to the story that just took place this week. Maybe you saw the headlines.
The Mormon church is shut down and they sold off all of their real estate assets and gave it to those five kids.
If only. No, last Friday, but it made news this week, a judge in Arizona ruled that the church and its leaders named in the lawsuit are exempt from being sued over these matters because of what's known as the clergy penitent privilege, which of course basically says, well, you found out about it in confession and you don't have to report anything you hear in confession.
Does Mormonism have the same
rules as the Catholic Church?
As the Catholic Church?
Yeah, so Mormon Church, Catholic Church, Jehovah's Witnesses, they all have a form of confession.
Okay.
And they all believe that if you confess a sin to some religious leader in that, you know, faith, it's a sacred bond. It is not for public consumption. Nothing you say can or will be used against you. And that includes confessing to a crime. Like, these bishops do not have to go to the cops about it. They just tell you to say your Hail Marys and move on. So, according to the attorney that made that earlier statement that I read to you, here's her response to all this. She will appeal the ruling. Whether it'll do anything is another story. But she says, how do you explain to young victims that a rapist's religious beliefs are more important than their right to be free from rape?
Jesus.
She said that this ruling, if it's allowed to stand, would, quote, completely eviscerate the state's child protection law.
Mm-hmm. Now, 100%. 100%.
What did the Mormon church say in response to all of this?
Sucks to suck.
Yep. We are pleased with the decision granting summary judgment.
Oh, I genuinely almost gagged. Uh-huh. They said we're pleased.
We are pleased with the Arizona Superior Court's decision granting summary judgment for the church and its clergy and dismissing the plaintiff's claims. Contrary to some news reports and exaggerated allegations, the court found that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and its clergy handled this matter consistent with Arizona law. Which is to say,
appalled.
The law says we don't have
to
report it.
And then these people are going to go home and be like, I sure am good at my job, and I'm making the world a better place. Good job, me.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers.
Yeah. This story, the whole story, has become like Exhibit A when it comes to how the Mormon church covers up this sort of abuse between the confession itself, between the useless helpline that tells them how to avoid
Jesus
any...
Because
what's the customer service line? It's a way to say, here's how we get the Mormon church out of trouble.
This is genuinely exactly what, like, HR is for. HR is not there to protect its employees.
Right,
HR is protecting the company.
Right. And the thing this, the reason the church can get away with saying we were just following the law is because Arizona, like so many other states, doesn't require religious leaders to report instances of abuse to law enforcement if they learned about it through an act of confession. And again, we've talked about this, but if a public school teacher finds out a kid's being abused at home, they are legally obligated to, like, tell the kid's counselor, who can then take appropriate action. But not pastors, not bishops, not priests. If someone tells them a secret in a fancy booth, and they think it's going to remain a secret because it's confession, the law allows those leaders to keep it a secret even if people are getting hurt. And even when legislation was proposed to remove that exemption from the law, what did the Mormon church do?
They fought it.
They fought it.
With their considerable finances and political support.
This is in Arizona. To force a clergy member to report a confidential communication, quote, changes the whole nation of the confessional, said State Senator Eddie Farnsworth, and who's a member of the Mormon Church. Earlier this year, he declined to give a hearing to a bill that sought to further narrow the clergy exemption. And that same guy, who's chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee in the state of Arizona, said this bill, well-intentioned as it might have been, would disrupt centuries of church dogma.
Cool.
By the way, another lawyer for the Mormon church, his name is Merrill Nelson. You remember I said that the bishop who heard that confession told another guy about it? The other guy was Merritt Nelson, Merrill Nelson. Nelson's also a Utah legislator. or was for like 10 years before he stepped down, and Utah has the same law. So yeah, of course they do.
Of course.
And the reason religious institutions don't want to take these exemptions off the books is because they value secrecy more than your safety.
Correct.
Religious dogma matters more than a kid getting sexually abused. Mm. They think confessions are a sacrament, and anything less than confidentiality, complete confidentiality, is an obstacle to their faith. To put that another way, they don't give a shit about kids.
Is there any part of you that understands where the church is coming from? Because I don't, and I want to understand, like, for real, intellectually, why do they...
That is their reason. They think if we create this, I mean, Catholics say it's a rite, right? Like, it's important. We have to create a space for people to confess their innermost sins with the understanding that you are confessing to get it out, not to be used against you, so that you can get right with God.
I know
And that's more... if you say, yeah, but it's not totally confidential, because if they say certain things, you do have to tell the cops about it. Mm-hmm. They believe, like, well, now it's our religious beliefs. The government can't tell us how to do our religion. That's where they're coming from.
I mean,
I don't think that's unfair. I think that's a steel man version of their argument.
Yeah, but like, you know, in fucking therapy, God knows I feel free to say the things I need to say. Well, I guess I just don't molest people very much.
Right,
so
but
I don't have a lot
now,
to confess to
Now, if you committed
you
a crime that is hurting people actively,
yeah,
would the therapist be obligated to tell someone?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
And that's not true.
But
for
that's what I'm
leaders.
Saying is like, as somebody who is in therapy and is not in religion, like that, I do not feel in any way
constrained.
Yes,
from
thank you. That's
about
the word.
The
like I've never been concerned that my therapist would betray my confidence,
right?
Unless it was genuinely a huge deal, yeah. And I just cannot put myself in a place of a person who is putting the perpetrator of these crimes above the victims, mm-hmm, in the name of keeping their religion sacred. It just feels very much like
that's 'cause you
have to make sacrifices for this thing to do. And if that sacrifice looks like a 6-month-old little baby getting molested, so be it. That's God's will.
6 week.
Fuck me. Jesus. Sorry.
Just the Associated Press put this in context. The AP found that 33 states exempt clergy of any denomination from laws requiring professionals in other areas to report information about child sexual abuse to police or child welfare officials if the abuse was divulged during a confession. Mm. Anytime there's been legislation to eliminate that privilege, Catholic Church, Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witnesses, they've successfully persuaded lawmakers to maintain the exemption. But again, we all know that, quote, glaring loophole, which is how the AP put it, has been a blessing for abusers everywhere. Because they get the satisfaction of thinking, I'm right with God, all while continuing their predatory ways.
And I think there is something important to point out with the reason that so many places take confession very seriously is because to carry a burden around with you is very stressful. To have done something terrible and have to deal with the guilt or the fear of consequences if you don't have guilt, that is a huge burden to carry around. And the reason that people like to vent and misery loves company is because it is relieving to get that off your chest and say it out loud. It feels like you've gotten it out. Which is great for you, the villain, because you feel better about yourself and you get to go back to what you're doing with a clean slate and not feel like you were doing anything bad. But, oh, okay, well, I confessed and I'm forgiven, so everything's fine. Like, this is genuinely not just keeping these people from getting caught and seeing consequences, it is enabling them to mentally continue to do their dastardly deeds, she said for some reason.
It's horrible. And the headline alone
miserable.
That a judge, I'm not even mad at the judge. The judge is doing what he thinks is the law. So I'm not picking on him. I'm picking on the law itself, which Arizona right now has a Republican-led legislature. But that's the problem. The problem is a law that allows religious leaders to get away with this stuff. Okay.
Fuck, man.
Let's talk about Wisconsin.
My God, we're not done.
Oh, there's many more. I'm limiting this for you.
Oh, thank you so much. I just have to go to my two other jobs today. Don't worry about it. Thanks for the favor.
So the GOP-led gerrymandered Wisconsin legislature, they control the Senate and the House in their state overwhelmingly because they drew the lines. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if that changes anytime soon. One of the things the Wisconsin Senate did this week is pass an amendment to the state constitution that in the case of another public health emergency like COVID, churches are allowed to stay open no matter what. Yeah. And not just open, but like you can't tell us what to do open, meaning if COVID came around again or something like COVID, not only would they get to be open, not only would there be no limit on how many people could go to a service. No mask. You can't tell them to wear masks. You could just, that would become a super spreader event everywhere.
Am I completely losing my mind? What the fuck is going on?
Yep.
What are you, these people are wasting their legislation time, punishing.
Public safety.
These people are monsters.
Yes.
These people are such fucking monsters. And I'm so goddamn sick of the kind of people who want power being the kind of people who only want power to benefit themselves personally and their ego.
Which is weird because this
sick of it.
The rule as it was before is I want to save your life. And they're like, you can't tell me what
to
do. Fuck
you. I can die if I want to die. Yeah.
So here's the backstory here. In March of 2020, when we as a country began paying attention to COVID. Governor Tony Evers, who's a Democrat, issued a stay-at-home order, like a lot of states did, and it only allowed exceptions for, like, essential activities. Going to a religious service, even though you could do that over Zoom or a live stream, was actually one of the exceptions. But, like other exempted public gathering places, religious services were limited to 10 people maximum. Mm-hmm. Remember, early in the pandemic, I don't even know if we knew it was airborne necessarily.
No, we didn't know fucking anything.
So, but they were like, okay, we're being told that this is dangerous. We want to limit how many people are in one space, especially if there's not a grocery store, but like a chance you're talking to each other.
Yeah.
We want to limit that. So it was inconvenient, yes, but the logic made sense there. It's not like religious people were treated.
A lot of shit about March 2020 was deeply inconvenient. I'm sorry that they had a hard time, but I think we were all kind of on the struggle bus.
Correct. So it's not like religious people were treated differently from other people. Like
That's not true. They didn't get to do exactly what they want to do, and everybody else did. So, yeah.
As you remember, theaters were wide open.
Yes.
Athletic leagues were all, anyway.
Oh, constantly.
Republicans, obviously ignorant of science, concept of equality, anything like that. They treated that restriction like Christian persecution.
It's the only lens they can see anything through.
Yep. The then conservative state Supreme Court struck down Evers' order within 2 months on a 4-3 vote. The reason Janet Protasiewicz, that election was such a big deal earlier this year, is because it flipped it to 4-3 on the liberal side.
Yeah.
But then it was conservative and they struck it down 4-3. And now the gerrymandered Senate wants to prevent any governor from being able to protect public health in the future if it gets in the way of Christians doing whatever the hell they want. And so, and by the way, what one of the Senate Republicans who sponsored this bill said is, during the pandemic, we saw places of worship forcibly closed at a time when many needed their faith communities and spiritual advisors the most. That's a lie. They were not closed. They were open.
And
they
also,
were limited.
Like, dude,
so
yeah.
You're lying.
Yeah, it sucked. We were all miserable. What, like, do you think this only happened to Christian people?
Oh, yeah. My favorite version of that is when Republicans are like, remember when you told us to stay home for 2 weeks to stop the spread and then you just kept going? It's like, that's because no one stayed home.
It's because you didn't do the thing that you're supposed to do.
So anyway, by the way, all of these people supporting the you can't have any public health rules here, they're all quote unquote pro-life. So they're all for life until it's born and Christians want to worship, in which case grandma might have to be sacrificed.
Yeah,
and that's
sucks
all right.
To suck, grandma. Yeah. You shouldn't have been born in the 30s. That was your bad.
Yeah. So this new amendment that they passed, it passed on a party line vote, 21-10. Mm. And the way amendments work to the Constitution in Wisconsin, they have 2-year legislative sessions. Mm. You have to pass an amendment in 2 consecutive legislative sessions.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then put it to the voters to approve it.
Mm.
So this is the sort of thing that's not going to be in the law, theoretically, for like another 4 or 5 years minimum.
But
if
the threat
it gets through the if it gets, red tape.
If it gets through everything. But the threat is very real. I mean, the House version in Wisconsin of the bill has not yet been voted on. Mm-hmm. I assume it'll pass because it's all Republicans. Mm-hmm. And if the only thing stopping this right now, besides the vote in several years, is the Supreme Court ungerrymandering the state, allowing Wisconsinites to pick their actual leaders. And then maybe the legislature changes the next time around and they don't go through with this. That's the way to stop this. But just to be clear, when the legislature passed a similar bill in 2021, Governor Evers vetoed it. The reason they're doing the constitutional version now, trying to make it just directly in the Constitution, because he can't veto that. Yeah. So we'll see. But like, just thinking about this, how little regard do conservative Christians have for the lives of other people?
None.
That they think churches, and I say churches, I mean any religious place, but we're all talking about Christians. Mm. They believe churches of any size should be allowed to meet at full capacity, even when an airborne virus has the potential to kill people, because they think their religious beliefs grant them immunity from saving anyone else's life, even when the intention is to protect them.
At what point am I a bad person if I just say, fine, let him die?
The reason you can't do that one is because in order for that to happen and let them suffer their own consequences is because when it's an airborne virus, we all suffer.
All right, it's peeing in the corner of the pool and expecting it to stay there.
Yes, and that's not how it works. But this is the thing. Like, we see it with abortion, LGBTQ rights, even gun safety to an extent, which is that these Jesus lovers are so angry and hate humanity that they are willing to go through with a policy change that would hurt everybody else and maybe even themselves just so they could do whatever they want. Like, public safety takes a backseat to public worship because apparently God doesn't listen to them unless they are like in person and singing and holding their hands in the air. Because God doesn't listen to people who worship over Zoom. Clearly, that's in the Bible.
I watched my niece and nephew over the weekend. My niece is 3.5 years old. And this is what it feels like talking to her of like, no, I don't want to. Okay, well, I know you don't want to. I know you don't want to go to bed, but everybody has to go to bed because otherwise you die. Nope. Okay, well, we're all going to go to bed and you kind of have to do the thing we all have to do. Nope. And then she lays on the bed and kicks the door and screams for an hour. Yep. That's what these people are to me of just like,
They're called Wisconsin adult Republicans.
And I like Wisconsin. It's a beautiful state. But
that being the key word there.
Yikes on bikes.
One last story for you. This will be a little quicker, but I'll leave you on a happy note. Right? Had to do one
this
of these.
This feels equivocal.
I was looking at all my stories. And I'm like, which one's happy? This is kind of happy. Okay.
Kind of happy.
Yeah. Here's the story. Last year, we talked about this. Republican lawmakers in South Carolina, they released a draft of their upcoming 2022-2023 budget. And tucked into page 443, there was a $1.5 million grant that was going to be made to the Christian Learning Centers of Greenville County.
Okay.
So why was a Christian ministry basically getting $1.5 million in taxpayer money?
Because if you look at the separation of church and state doesn't exist.
Right. And so if you look at this organization, it says their mission is, quote, to provide biblical instruction to school-age children. The students are encouraged to spread the news in order to elect Jesus. That's in all caps, by the way, on their website. And for the past 25 years, this ministry...
Elect Jesus to office?
I don't know. No, it didn't say to office. Just elect Jesus. And for the past 25 years, they've transported public school children to local churches for up to 90 minutes a day as part of a legal release time program to receive more indoctrination.
Cool.
So again, why is the state giving them money? And that's the question. Like, it seemed like the earmark was sponsored by two Republican state reps, and it was included in the budget after the Christian ministry CEO asked the governor, Henry McMaster, hey, can you get me some of this money? And basically, because you can't give them money for proselytizing, but the money was actually earmarked to allow them to purchase 10 acres of land as part of a down payment to build a $14 million residential school for disadvantaged and at-risk youth. And that might sound good, and it is laudable, But we're talking about a group of, we're not just talking
secular,
about Christians.
It's great. Yeah.
They're not just trying to help kids. Their primary goal is to spread a religious message. Mm. That's why this was illegal, because mm-hmm. you're giving it so they could build a proselytizing school.
Right.
And the argument was that this violates the state constitution. A lawyer said, this sounds like a pretty explicit, direct contradiction of what the state constitution says. Mm. By the way, in 2020, the South Carolina Supreme Court unanimously ruled that the governor violated the state's constitution when he used $32 million in COVID relief money to pay for vouchers to private religious schools.
Jesus.
And specifically, the judges said you're violating
the part of the constitution.
Yeah, you're violating the part of the constitution that says public funds cannot be used for any religious or other private educational institution.
Right.
Like they said, you can't use COVID money for that because it goes against the rules. Well, what is this $1.5 million then? It's the exact same argument. You can't use public money for religious institutions. And if anything, this was even more explicit.
Yeah.
Because the vouchers went to private schools, including religious ones.
Not explicitly.
But this one's going
shit.
Explicitly yeah. to a Christian one, so that's messed up. And by the way, there is a president of a public education group that pointed out there are districts all over the state that could use $1.5 million to do significant
shit.
Facility upgrades, pay teachers more, provide mental health counselors to support student success.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, they didn't get the money.
Nope.
There was a lawsuit filed over this matter. Mm-hmm. The Freedom From Religion Foundation filed it with four plaintiffs who live in the state, basically saying we don't want to subsidize this and it shouldn't be happening. And over the course of the next several months, state officials tried really hard to have the case tossed out. Governor McMaster...
On what grounds, I wonder?
On the grounds that, like, Governor McMaster argued, you can't sue me because my decision to sign or veto legislation is protected by legislative immunity. Like, I can do whatever I want. I'm the governor. That was his reason.
There's no red flags there. I can
None
do whatever
whatsoever.
I want. Fuck you.
But the lawsuit was allowed to proceed, even if it wasn't against him. But the Christian school did have to give depositions on how they were going to use this money. What were all this stuff? And they were like, oh, shit. We have to be honest? That goes against everything we believe.
Oh, boy.
So, like, according to FFRF, on the same day that an officer of the organization was scheduled to give a deposition, the school's board, quote, voted to abandon its plans and withdraw its request to the Department of Education for the $1.5 million.
Oh, good.
And here's the thing.
Jar.
They're like, we just don't want to talk. You know what? We don't need the money.
We just found $1.5 million in my winter coat.
Yeah.
You know when that happens? You put like a 20 in your winter coat. $1.5 million.
And so here's the thing. This is what happened this week. Because of that withdrawal.
So embarrassing for them.
Yeah. Because of that withdrawal,
yeah.
A judge has tossed the case out. He says, well, now there's no longer any money going to them.
Yeah.
So there's no case to be ruled on.
What are we doing here?
And so they're not judging it on the merits of the case. They're not saying you're doing anything that violates the Constitution. They're just tossing it out on that technicality.
Oh, my
God. Now, the question is...
They just got caught red-handed.
They did?
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what? You're going to follow up? You're going to ask questions on this? Oh, this was not part... My understanding was if we are Christians, we get infinite money and no receipts.
That is how the Mormon Church works. Yes.
Right. Fuck.
So the case is moot. FFRF is saying this is technically, they're spinning it as a victory, and I think they're right to do it.
I think so.
Because the money's not going to that school anymore, and that's only happening because the lawsuit.
Yeah, the lawsuit did what it is meant to do. I mean, this is right. This is the ultimate, best case scenario for FFRF, right?
The best case scenario would have been the judge ruling on the matter and saying what you wanted is unconstitutional, and if anyone tries this shit again, we're saying no from the outset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, what's stopping them from just trying again in the future? Maybe they change their name to something a little more innocuous.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get sneakier for sure. But, like, at some point...
It's not like they call them Christian pregnancy, you know, clinics
right,
or whatever.
Right. I mean, it's whack-a-mole, right? Like, but you just have to keep whacking.
Right. And so, Ian Whatley, he's one of the plaintiffs in the case. He told me in an email he called this a win. But he also worried, they're totally going to try this again. But I asked him, like, do you regret joining the case since it was just tossed out? Because putting your name on a case like this in South Carolina, that's not easy to do.
Kidding.
And he recognized that, too. But he did He did say, when I first considered being a plaintiff, like, I took stock of the risks. Mm-hmm. I decided I would probably have to deal with some social media heckling, maybe even property damage.
Sure.
He said, he told me, I'm pleasantly surprised to report no problems.
Nice.
So that's nice.
That's good news.
But he did urge people, like, look, if you see this shit happening, he didn't say that. I'm saying that. If you see this shit happening in your neck of the woods, in your state, take screenshots, take notes, take pictures, take samples of literature. Check in with a group like FFRF or Americans United and let them figure out what to do next. Because, listen, if you can help, it's possible your name doesn't have to be out there. Mm-hmm. But giving them the information is what can stop all this stuff. So, yay. I'm glad.
It's good to see the law working the way it's meant to work, even if it got to. Yeah. I mean,
I'm not going to.
I guess a win's a win.
Spend forever on this story, but I just wanted to point it out. Earlier this year, the president of West Texas A&M University, there was a drag show fundraiser to benefit an LGBTQ group on campus.
And I bet that went well.
Well, they weren't allowed to do it.
Oh.
Because the president of the university sent an email that day basically saying it was going to help the Trevor Project, which helps LGBTQ
of
kids.
Of course they're against that.
The president, Walter Wendler, sent out an email canceling the show. He said, I believe every human being is created in the image of God and therefore a person of dignity. Does a drag show preserve a single thread of human dignity? I think not.
This is the argument he has now,
yes.
Is that it's undignified?
Yeah, he went on to say drag shows are derisive, divisive, and demoralizing misogyny.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
Then he compared
it
to blackface.
Listen, I get your alliteration, sir, and I'm really proud of you, but no to any of that. No to any of that.
He also said in the email,
also,
harmless.
Guys, men, you don't need to protect women from drag queens. Guys, I keep seeing this of like, what are we going to do, women? Like, my dude, I have never been threatened by a drag queen in my entire
You've never
life.
Been
you know
threatened
who
by a trans person either.
You know who I've been threatened by a ton?
Men?
Men, yeah. All the time!
Wendler went on to say, a harmless drag show? Not possible. So anyway, they filed a lawsuit over this.
I fucking hate this.
I know,
shit.
I'll speed through this.
It makes me so goddamn mad.
They filed a lawsuit over this, but of course the case went to Matthew Kaczmarek, who's a Federalist Society, Trump-loving MAGA judge, who's like, no, I don't see what the president did wrong there. Free speech means he can shut down a drag show. It's fine.
I don't think that's what free speech is. That's his free speech, but what about everybody else's?
Doesn't matter. Anyway, this happened months ago. So this week, guess who spoke at West Texas A&M?
RuPaul.
Our friend Andrew Seidel, who is with Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
Yeah, okay.
legit good guy. He was talking about his book, American Crusade, how the Supreme Court is weaponizing religious freedom. He's well aware of what happened earlier this year. So at some point in his speech, of course, he's talking about Christian nationalism in the country and why it's a problem, what his book is all about. But at some point, he brings up that drag issue, and he's like, you know, when does it go from being harmless to harmful? And he points out things like, right now, he said, I'm wearing a pink shirt and a pink tie. Like, is that a problem for anybody? Then he says, like, I wore an earring in high school. Is that a problem? What if I put that earring on right now?
Yeah.
Like, am I a threat now?
Right.
What if I wore this rainbow feather boa, puts it on? He's like, am I a threat now to anybody? Then he's like, yeah, I'm wearing a suit, but like, I have a skirt here. What if I put on this skirt?
Slap on the skirt.
Yep. And then he's like, what if I wore stockings, kind of like the founding fathers? Because guess what? I'm wearing pantyhose right now. And basically changes into drag on the spot.
Wow.
Come look at the glorious picture. So he dressed in drag in the middle of his speech,
so
basically trying to make the point that cross-dressing is not a threat to anybody.
I like that skirt.
Right? He looks fantastic and fabulous. He actually said, after he put on the heels to make the point, I don't feel much like a threat. I feel a little fabulous, but I don't feel much like a threat. Which, kudos to him, he was not arrested.
Oh, congratulations. Andrew. It's a close one. You almost flew too close to the sun, my dude.
I know. As far as a clever protest goes, I really appreciate
that. Yeah, that was outstanding, Andrew.
Very nice
work. Very nice
work. I'll stop there. What are we talking about in the bonus?
I actually have things to talk about in the bonus. Oh, first I want to say I don't have a date for it, but I recorded an episode of Your Therapist Needs Therapy with Jeremy, who's a listener. He is going to let me know when that is posted. I would like to talk to you about Fall of the House of Usher, which I finished last week. I went to see How Did This Get Made last night in Chicago. I'd like to talk about that. We have a baby horse, and I only want to talk about the baby horse, but I can't think of anything that's going to make you interested in that. So where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on the internet at Hemant Mehta on whatever that X site is. You can go to friendlyatheist.com for all the articles I write. And you can support this show by going to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. Do it now.
And you can always leave us a review. This one is... Oh, Darren Austin says, brings me joy, parentheses, updated November 2023. Let's rock.
What's the update?
I love listening to them both and learning their perspectives. It helps me widen my understanding of the world. Also, just to make my worldview of the show... review of the show complete. Insert idiotic rude up comment about Jessica here. Update.
Nice.
What in the world is wrong with people who leave reviews seriously complaining about Jessica? Heaven is great, but finding very dry analytical voices in the atheist movement isn't hard. In the atheist community isn't hard. Jessica, on the other hand, Jessica, on the other hand, brings a passion to the show and makes it so much better than if Hemant was just reading articles he'd written the past week. I've been listening for 4 years, and Jessica has brought an impassioned perspective on feminism and social justice that I didn't have anywhere else when I was coming out of fundamentalism. Hemant's good reporting makes the show good, but Jessica's passion makes the show amazing.
Aww.
And I don't feel guilty reading nice things about me because I read so many mean things about me.
Very nice.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see you next week.
See you in the bonus.